Hello, everybody. I'm Brian.
I'm Brian.
And this is Brian vs. Brian, episode 235, The Silence of the Lambs. Okay. Silence of the Lambs, 1991 American psychological horror thriller, directed by Jonathan Demme.
Demme? Yeah,
Damme.
For me? I don't know.
Jonathan Demme. Adapted from Thomas Harris's 1988 novel. Jodie Foster as Clarice Starling. We got Anthony Hopkins as Hannibal Lecter. We got Ted Levine as Buffalo Bill. Let's see. February 14th, Valentine's Day. Bummer.
Wow.
1991. $19 million budget. $272.7 million box
Jesus
office.
Jesus Christ.
It did okay.
Wow.
It did okay.
Yeah.
The sequel is announced the next week. It did okay. That's crazy. Yeah, it's $19 million. I guess there's not much to spend the money on. It's just kind of houses and some fake guns you need, some cheap FBI uniforms, you know. That's about it.
It's crazy how long it took them to actually make a sequel. Maybe the sequel book wasn't written at the time. You said based on the book by Thomas Harris in 1988, so maybe Hannibal wasn't written then. But that, and I think, didn't it win Best Picture? I know it got
it won. It won the top five, bro. Only two other films that achieved this, being 1934's It Happened One Night. And 1975's One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. So this is the most recent to do it. It won the, what do they call it? The Big Five? Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor, Best Actress, and Best Adapted Screenplay. Boom,
Jesus.
Motherfucker.
Yeah. That's very, very, I mean, I don't know if you consider this horror, maybe it's horror adjacent, I don't know, but it's very rare that a movie like this would clean up like that. Most horror films are kind of neglected from the Oscars.
Yeah, this is the first and only to date horror film to win Best Picture.
Yeah. It's sad. There's a lot of good horror movies, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, this one, God, it's the sequels, Hannibal in 01, followed by two prequels, Red Dragon 02 and Hannibal Rising 07. I think I've seen Hannibal. I don't think I've seen the other prequels.
I've seen everything in this franchise except for Hannibal Rising. I've seen the show. I've seen Hannibal. I've seen Manhunter, Red Dragon. I've not seen Hannibal Rising.
But man, watching this and finishing it, I really would have liked a sequel closer to, and then get Hopkins and Foster back, and you know, he's helping her on another case. That would have been fucking awesome.
Yeah. Instead, we got God, who was it? The redhead, Juliet something. God, what the fuck is her name?
Juliet Moore.
Yeah, Juliet Moore. She was Clarice in Hannibal.
I thought she was a pretty good Clarice too. She's no Foster,
but
it was pretty good. So we start off with the FBI training course, Starling running around, and I think it's comical, this training course. It's some logs.
Yeah.
Hey. What do you do for the log? I don't know. Do something. I don't know. Jump over them. Jump on them. It's up to you.
Yeah.
Go around them. I don't know.
I love when she climbs up the rope. She does she does a flip and then hangs on. I was like, come on. You're getting a little fancy with that.
It's way more efficient.
Yeah.
He saved over 3 seconds. Mm-hmm. And then I like how some random guy is just in the middle of the forest and Starling stops, walks over. They want you inside, and then they got a shot of him turning his head to the camera so you can see he has a big FBI on his hat. Just a black hat. Yeah. So now we know where we're at. And I don't know. She's like in training. She's not even an FBI agent. She hasn't even graduated academy yet. And she's working with, I forget that guy's name. Who's kind of like his, her.
Jack, fuck. What the hell is his name? I remember his first name is Jack, but I don't remember his last name.
Chief Jack Crawford.
Jack Crawford. There we go.
recruited by a behavioral science unit chief, Jack Crawford, interview Dr. Hannibal Lecter. It's like, why would you do that? We have much more qualified people to do this that are already agents and are already working in the behavioral science unit. But
yeah.
No, I like this girl. She's got spunk. I don't know what it is. I think he knew her father or something. I think there's some connection there because he talks about it later. Your dad would be proud and whatnot.
And she challenged him on something, some speech he gave. She turned in a paper or something that challenged his
thing. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I gave you an A. Okay.
You tore me apart. It was an A minus, sir. Okay. And then we get to, oh, yeah. They need to interview Hannibal Lecter, who is in custody. He's known as Hannibal the Cannibal. He is a psychologist who started eating people. I don't know if they're necessarily all his patients, but anyway. They want her to go talk to him under the guise of soliciting his participation in a psychological survey. Like, oh, yeah, that's going to – like she has this – could you fill out this survey for me, please, doctor? I love that when he's like, oh, you were doing so well, Clarice. Yeah. you established a friendly rapport. You showed trust by telling me what Meeks whispered to you. And then you shoehorned it so haphazardly into your survey. I loved it.
So good.
Oh, yeah. That was so good. What did he whisper to you? He said he could smell me. Oh, I cannot. But then he says that. And then he's like, you use Vaseline instead of chapstick. You wear a light bruge, but not today.
But not today, yeah.
I smell the faint hint of yesterday's bruge.
You good.
Oh, it's all so good. I don't know what makes this movie good. The story's pretty good. You're always wanting to know what's going to happen next, and it's kind of slow, but it's got a nice pace to it. You're never bored, so there's that going for it. And Hannibal and Clarice, the performances are just amazing. Even Buffalo Bill, those three are fucking great.
It's funny with Buffalo Bill. There's the lotion scene, like that's been parodied, and all of us have said that, and so it's like. It's a weird position because it's like kind of comical, but it's also very disturbing and fucked up. So it's kind of this weird thing where it's like it puts the lotion on its skin and you kind of want to giggle, but like the circumstance is really fucked up. I don't know. It's very weird. But I will say, you were talking about what makes this movie good. I think all of the things above that you said, yes, 100%. But there's one thing that I didn't really notice because it's been many years I've watched this, but from like, I don't know if you agree with this, but from a cinematography standpoint, like a lot of dialogue scenes are like framed looking at the actor as opposed to like a wide shot or a medium. And I feel like, and there's so many conversations where the camera, the actors are looking right at the lens.
Yeah.
And it's like a close up. And I feel like when you do that, it makes it the conversations a little more engaging versus if you're just kind of in a like a normal over the shoulder, but like when you're the actor's looking right down the barrel, it makes the conversations more engaging. You're more kind of enthralled, even if it's just people just having conversations. Even like Hannibal Lecter's intro, I think that fucking shot's like eyebrow to like, it's so fucking tight. And he's like, his head's kind of tilted down. It's like very creepy and.
He's already standing there in the middle of the cell, nicely kept and presented. And
Yeah,
that's great. It's like, yeah, and it just reminded me of that, talking about the survey she tries to give to him. What do you say? A census came to my house once.
Oh, yeah.
They tried to question me. I ate his liver with a side of fava beans and a nice Chianti. She's like, oh, shit.
Weirdo?
My bad. Farva beans, huh?
Yeah.
It pairs with the liver. Then he kind of dismisses her, says, fuck you, because he finds out she just wanted him to do this survey. And then she's leaving, and I think the I forget the guy's Miggs flings semen at her.
Yeah, I did not remember this. I was like, whoa.
Oh, I definitely remembered shit. This. This is a big part of the that. Movie.
I remembered that.
And you feel bad. You feel really bad.
Yeah, I was like, Jesus.
Because she's like this tough FBI chick, like super tough and ready for anything, but that along with being yelled at by Hannibal, she's just like, she's like a little girl again, like, no.
Yeah.
And then he yells at her, Starling. He's like, I don't remember what he says. It's something like, Miggs is a disgrace. I apologize on behalf of him and all of Death Row. I will give you this, and gives her an anagram that leads her to a storage unit containing a severed head in a jar. Later, Miggs is found dead in his cell, and I think they tell Starling about it. And she's like, kind of, yeah, he did that to me. What happened to him? And then they heard Hannibal whispering to him all night in the cell. He woke up after he had swallowed his tongue. It's like, I don't think you could do that. I don't think that's a viable suicide. Like, yeah. I don't know if you can do that. Like, like,
let me try.
Difficult to do, I think. Yeah. Swallow your own tongue. Okay. Oh yeah. So they discover that head in a jar in that storage unit. In the storage unit, they're like looking through it, and she has the guy, and they have to get like the jack to open it, and she gets in there. And then all of a sudden, the storage unit is like Ripley's Believe It or Not. It's huge. It's like there's cars in there and shit. And I was like, how kind of a storage unit is this? It's like outside, it's an 8x10 storage unit. Yeah, inside, it's a fucking mansion, like with all sorts of shit. It was crazy. And then, yeah, she gets the head in the jar, and they examine the head, and they find, oh, no, they at first they have another victim that they find in a river or something. All the victims are found in water, and they're doing the, what do they call that, the autopsy. And that's a pretty cool scene where they all put the cream on their nose so they don't freaking barf. And she's, you know, in training, so she's pretty shaken up. And, oh, star entry wound.
Yeah. What do you see, Starling? Yeah.
And then, yeah, they found something in the mouth. And then, what is that, some kind of seed pod?
Yeah.
Nah, motherfucker, that's a moth, yeah. Baby.
So cool to see that huge fucking camera that like has this, I don't know what that is. It's like this metal thing and it like sticks on it. I don't know.
Yeah. The noise is amazing.
Yeah.
So Miggs was found dead in the cell. I tell Starling about it. Lecter agrees to assist the investigation in exchange for a transfer away from Chilton.
Oh, yeah, after there's a new girl that gets kidnapped, and we find out she's like, what is it, the governor, the mayor's daughter, governor?
Senator, senator's daughter. Yeah. And we get Buffalo Bill abducting her. I was kind of watching her a bit. And then he's pretending to put a couch in a van and struggling. Oh, dang it. Oh, darn it. You need some help, mister? Oh, would you? I'd really appreciate it. You just get up in the back. Get in there. Yep, I want it all the way in. shoves her in with the couch. And then he's like, what are you, about a size 14? She's like, what? Never mind. Just starts pounding her.
Yeah.
And then looks at the inside of her shirt and 14. Oh, good. Yes. And then cuts her shirt off and starts touching her back. Perfect. Yes. And throws her shirt out by the van.
And the poor cat.
Oh, yeah, the poor cat.
And the poor mom. Woman, also the poor
cat. Okay, and then she needs to go back and talk to Hannibal, because now the senator's daughter has been abducted. I don't know how they think that's connected to Buffalo Bill, really, but so they got a sneaky
Oh, I think
suspicion.
the cutting of the cloth, I think that's what he does. He like cuts clothes
Huh.
off and leaves them. I think that's what they mentioned that, but that's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, then she offers Lecter a fraudulent deal that is, I guess, proposed by the senator that would send him to this new prison. It would still be maximum security, but 1 week a year you get to visit this island and see birds and stuff, and they would have a view of the mountains, a small window in his cell. And so he's intrigued by that. But he wants a quid pro quo. He'll answer questions, but she has to answer personal questions from Lecter. And that's when she reveals her father was murdered when she was 10. And there's some cool things where she was at like the funeral with some cops of one of the victims or something, and
Oh,
walks
yeah.
out towards the casket and becomes a little girl, and it's her father. And we got a flashback of her father pulling in a cop car and picking her up, and that stuff was pretty cool. And then I think Lecter reveals he's a that Buffalo Bill is a transsexual, or he thinks he is. And he's like, he's not really though. He just hates his own self, so he thinks he's someone else. I would start by looking at the transsexual surgeries list at Johns Hopkins, and he lists there's only three
Couple other,
major
yeah.
hospitals that do it in the country. I would bet he has applied to one, if not all, and been rejected for his emotional instabilities or something like that. Then we get this guy Chilton, who he kind of runs where Hannibal Lecter is at, and he records the conversation and he's listening to it. He's kind of a skeeze. He reminds me of the guy from like Aliens.
Yeah, totally.
He's kind of that guy, you know?
Yeah.
Doing whatever he can to make his own dreams come true.
How does that, how can this, like, benefit me in some sort of
Yeah.
way? Yeah.
So, did that. He gets in touch with and finds out that that deal is not real, and then talks to Lecter about it and says, you know, but I have a new deal, a real one. I actually talked to the senator, and of course, I threw in some things for myself as well. You know, a new Mazda Miata
Yeah.
for me. I don't know what he would want. I don't know.
He's such a weird, like, I remember the first time she goes to the facility and he like hits on her immediately, and then they get to like right outside where Lecter is, and she's like, "Hey, actually, I'm gonna do this by myself. Is that okay?" And he's like, "Well, you could have told me that before I walked all the way over here. You know how fucking long these hallways are?" It's like, dude,
Yeah,
he's
and I
funny.
like how she strokes his ego to make him let her. Yeah, but then I wouldn't have been able to enjoy your company. Oh, let
Touche.
her in. I like how the black guys, like the corrections officers are like, they're pretty cool, and they like know her because she keeps coming, and they act like they're best buds. If she comes for like 5 minutes once every 4 months, you know,
Clarice.
it's like, Clarice, how you doing? Guys, Clarice is here.
Or even the two guys that she clearly has known in the past, the friendships. There's like the two scientist guys, like the moth specialist and then the cross-eyed guy. I don't know what the fuck his deal was, but
Yeah, but now they gotta go because they're having a prisoner exchange. They find out the FBI finds out that this guy did that behind their back, and that was a pretty cool conversation about somebody like, "Did you offer Hannibal a fake deal?" And he's like, "I had to roll the dice." And then another thing is like, I like when Clarice was to that mentor of hers. She's like, "You just wanted his help on the Buffalo Bill killer, didn't you? And you didn't care about the census. That was all." He's like, "Yeah." He's like, "Well," she's like, "it would have been nice to be known that. If I would have sent you in there with an ulterior motive, he would have
Yeah,
picked that
chewed
up
you
right
up
off
and
the
spit you
bat."
up. Yeah.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool. And then Buffalo Bill Yeah, he's doing the transfer, and you get the cool. He's always got the mask on and shit. And oh my God, the acting in this was just his eyes, just
Oh
looking
yeah.
at things, and then the breathing, the
So
just
good.
taking it all in. And the end. Hello, Senator. Hello, Doctor. And then falsely, he identifies the killer as Lewis Friend, toying with her desperation. And I don't remember how he pisses off the
Yeah, he
senator.
offends her in some way. I don't remember what it was, but it was pretty fucked up. I remember like, damn. Yeah, I don't remember what he says though.
Yeah, right? I don't
Said some
remember.
pretty horrendous shit. I don't know if it had to do with her daughter or, yeah, I don't know.
And then Lewis Friend is an anagram. He loves anagrams for iron sulfide, fool's gold. And then Starling confronts Lecter about this in his new cell, which is like just a house with a little cage, like a Hell in the Cell WWE cage,
Yeah,
just
basically.
like a bird cage put on top of somebody.
In the middle of a room in some random like state building. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, and he's got like nice bed and dresser and stuff and
Record
all that.
player, yeah.
And then they talk more, and then Lecter offering a final cryptic clue. We covet what we see every day, Clarice. And so the first victim she gets from that he's watched her. The first one he knew. And then she reveals that she lived on a relative's ranch in Montana after her father died for 10 months. Why did you leave, Clarice? And she's woken up one day by screams and went into the barn to check it out, and they were slaughtering the lambs and they were screaming.
Yeah, that's pretty awful.
Yeah. And she tried to free them all, but they wouldn't run away. They didn't know. But you could run away, couldn't you, Clarice? What did you do? And she's like, I grabbed one of the lambs and I left, and it was so heavy. The lamb was so heavy.
And you think that by
Only.
catching Buffalo Bill, you will silence the
Yeah.
lambs?
You hope that your nights will be quiet again, don't you, Clarice? Maybe, I don't know. I know, I'm a psychologist, bitch. And then, yeah, they caught up with me 3 miles down the road. And what happened to the lamb? What was the fate of the lamb, Clarice? It was killed. It was killed. All for naught, then, Clarice. Yeah, and then we get that night Lecter orchestrating a gruesome escape. By the pen he smuggled from that shifty guy.
Yeah.
Like, that guy's gonna leave a pen. This guy knows Hannibal pretty well and has this list of rules, and you can't fucking give him anything. You can't touch anything. And yeah, he just, oh, I left my pen on
Yeah.
the bed. Oops.
Well, it's kind of nice though. It's like subtle. I do agree that it is a little bit unbelievable, but in the movie's defense, I feel like, because when they show him talking to Lecter with a pen, he's like overconfident. He's getting his way, that smeezy, I'm getting my way and this is what I'm gonna do. So he's like kind of careless in a way. But yeah, it's still, even if you're careless, you would think that he would not bring that pen in there for sure.
Yeah, then the two guards come in later, and he's got the little piece of metal from the pen in his mouth, and he has to get down and put his arms through the bars and get handcuffed so they can bring in the food. He's like, this bastard asked for a second dinner. Lamb chops, extra rare. This bastard, he's better than us. And it's like on a silver platter. It's got a salt and pepper shakers. It's all fucking gourmet. It's all gourmet, but then it's got a paper cup of like juice. Like,
Little Dixie cup.
yeah. And yeah, they handcuff him, and he gets off one of the handcuffs and then hooks it on to one of the officers and hooks him to the cage. And then he yells at the other one, oh, he got me! He got me! And then he starts biting the other guy's face, which is pretty brutal. And I thought I remembered him biting off his nose, but no, he just kind
Like
of
his
bites like
cheek.
kind of on his
Yeah.
cheek, yeah, next to his mouth. Bites the hell out of him. Oh yeah, then he takes his, like, we have an establishing shot earlier when they're coming in. This guy puts, it says like chemical mace on the bottle. He's like got it and he's putting it in his holster, and he takes that and just like very close, like dripping it pretty much in his eyes and on his open wound. This chemical like, mace. Oh. Ah!
Jesus.
Oh yeah, and the other guys watch it. Oh God, no. No. What are you gonna do to me? Oh, it's not gonna be worse, is it? Oh, I hope not. Then he grabs the baton. I can't remember if it's the baton from the guy he maced. I think it is. And then he just like looks at the guy chained up and
A nice elegantly
dramatic elegant swings like he's fucking John Williams conducting. You know what I mean? 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2. Bum, ba, dun, 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 dun. Anyways. And he just beats the hell out of him. And then it's once again the acting, and you get the blood splatter and the he's just getting more. Yeah, and he kind of stands there covered in blood next to that radio playing opera, and he's just reveling in it and blood on his face. And then he kind of comes to, looks around, realizes, oh, yes, just casually walks out.
Oh, yeah, he hears the guy he bit his cheek off. You can hear him, like, calling for help outside the cage.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, that guy. I got to go deal with that.
Yeah, and so... I don't know. The officers downstairs see the elevator moving, and then who went up there? Nobody. Oh, what the hell's going on? Call those guys. See what they're doing. They can't get a hold of them. So they go to the floor, and it's apparently on the fifth floor. And, they walk in, and the officer – pretty sure the officer got chemical maced. Oh, yeah, because he grabs a little pocket knife from the guy who was – chained up and walks towards that guy, and they find him strung up with like the American flag banners
like wings
hooked to him, and his intestines coming out, and oh my God, oh. and then they find the other guy no longer chained anymore. He's in the middle of the floor, and he's one of the officers said he's breathing. Talk to him, damn it. What do I say? It's Johnny. Talk to him. Hey, Johnny, you're gonna be fine, man. You look great.
You
look good. You know, all things considered, you've looked worse before.
Your face looks a little weird, but think of that later.
Yeah, and then they're riding the elevator, and then they're trying to get that guy out who's got the face trauma, and he's like convulsing and not doing good in the gurney. And some blood drips onto him, and they see the blood coming from the top of the elevator, and they get out quietly. He's on top of the elevator. And they open it up and look down, and it's Hannibal Lecter in all the white gear, and he's bloody, and he's like, they know that one of the officers got a shot off, so they don't know if he's injured. And, so they warn him. We need him alive. Shoot him in the leg. Just shoot him in the leg and no movement.
Yeah.
Well, I think he'd probably move if he could.
Light him up.
I don't know anybody. So they get in there and I don't know. They get him and then they realize. I don't know. They realize it's not him, but it's too late. The body's already in the ambulance, and then we get the cool shot in the ambulance where, I don't know, the medic is kind of doing something, and Hannibal, like, rips off the face. He had the fake face from the other guy.
Yeah.
And then, kills them, and we get told that the ambulance is missing, it was abandoned, crew is dead.
And that's the last time we see Hannibal for the last kind of stretch of the movie.
Yeah, then she calls her handler, and he says, I know, we got new information, we found the guy, we got a name, we're heading to the house. And she's like, Chicago, I could be there in 13 hours, that's too long, Starling. Go to the other house. I forget what he's sending her to do.
There was, Lecter wouldn't give Clarice a clear answer. All he would say is that the answer you're looking for is in the case files. And so she's with her partner back at the... I don't know, wherever their home, but Langley or whatever. And they start combing through again, and they realize that Buffalo Bill is making a dress, and he's probably a seamstress, or he knows how to sew. And so, given the fact that he knew the first victim, so they started looking at the first victim, like, you know, and she was sewing, and there's like a connection of like, you know, she worked for somebody like a sewing company or something, and so she's kind of going down that route while her boss Crawford is thinks he's got the guy when he's got the SWAT team.
Yeah, and it had the shape that was cut out of somebody's back on the dress, and so they're figuring that out. Yeah, then the SWAT team is going. Then we got another, the senator's daughter has got a plan to, like, get the dog, and she lures the dog into the well that she's in, and, you know, she's saying, bring me a phone or I'm going to kill your dog. Don't fuck it. What's the dog's name? Precious?
Precious, yeah.
Precious? Where are you, Precious? Don't hurt my fucking dog! You don't fucking know what pain is! The dog's really hurt, mister. Pretty sure its leg is broke. It's in a lot of pain. It needs a vet.
Needs a vet, yeah.
He doesn't seem like the type that brings his dog to the vet, though. Yeah. You know? He doesn't seem like it. This is Precious, yes. She's having a tummy ache. I don't think he leaves the house much unless he's murdering. Yeah. You know? He's uber-eating all of his meals.
Oh, my God.
Leave the fucking food in the basket! He's got a basket on the front porch. It leaves the food in the basket or else it gets no tip again. I tipped on the app! Anyways. I'm going off.
Shit.
This is the fun we have. We have fun. Yeah, so then he's freaking out about that, and he like goes upstairs, and he gets a gun. I was like, oh, fuck, he's just going to fucking... He's like a fucking Magnum 45.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, just going to shoot this bitch.
And meanwhile, while all this is going down, we keep cutting outside the house, and the SWAT team...
To the cops.
Like, you know, all the cops are kind of surrounding the house.
Got, like, a flower van pulling up. They're trying to do it all secretive. Why wouldn't you just bust in? And he's got like, a shotgun and a flower box, like it's T2 or some shit. That's like I just wanted him to come to the door, and the guy pulls out the shotgun all slow-mo, like T2, and the roses fall out. Get down. Yeah, and they're... The guy's ringing the bell, and then it cuts to in the house, and they got a giant buzzer. It's a weird buzzer downstairs, and it's like makes electrical noises and like lights up. It's like it's like, what is there, just raw electricity flowing in this thing? I didn't get that part. And then and so you think they're at the house because this fucking doorbell's going crazy, and he goes upstairs. To answer it, and then we have Clarice.
It's Clarice. Oh,
so she's at the right house. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember how that happened. Like somebody put that together. They got this information, right?
She was at some restaurant talking to a friend of the first victim about like colleagues, and then she said that like some guy that she worked with. You know, she knew some guy that she worked with, and then that's where Clarice was going to hunt down this guy who was a seamstress that was friends or knew the first victim. So that's how she ends up there.
Yeah, and then we cut back to the SWAT team, and they're kicking in the house and searching the house, and Pritchard was empty, right?
Yeah, it's empty.
It was empty. Was this house even related to the killings? I don't think it...
Yeah, I don't remember how they got... I mean, they're following the lead from the first lie he tells. No, right? I'm trying to figure how the fuck they got there. Because I think they use the same name that Hannibal gives the senator. But maybe not. Yeah, I don't remember. It all kind of happens really fast.
Yeah, anyways, it was just a red herring. Just a MacGuffin. And, Clarice is asking Buffalo Bill, who she doesn't know who it is, about... the family. I think she's looking for the family that used to live in this house.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like,
the woman that used to live there.
Yeah. And so I think, like, the woman was the first victim's friend. He might have known the first victim somehow from work, too, but I think he I don't know, killed this lady too and just took her house? Because it's a crazy coincidence that he's lit. Oh, I bought the house, yeah, legally, of course.
That could be,
And
because I think there is a jumping ahead a little bit, but when Clarice is kind of walking around, she walks into a bathroom and opens the curtain or something. There's like a body
yep.
decomposing that could have been the woman.
Yeah, and then yeah, she's walking in, and I think she was asking like if he has any information about the prior family, like maybe that was left in the house when he bought it. And he said he has a phone number of somebody. I don't remember who it is, and he's going to get it. It's like, oh yeah, let me find the number. Come on in, yeah. And then she's looking around, and there's fucking lots of sewing stuff around, and then a moth, one of those
Yeah, the exact
crazy.
moth.
That they find out only comes from like South America, and someone had to raise these and get them. And yeah, it comes and flies and lands on the string. And then we have an establishing shot from the other side of the kitchen that his gun is right around the corner on the stove. And so he's looking for it, and he's, oh, here it is, here. And he just he holds it out about 3 inches. So you gotta come over here and get it. No, I'm not bringing it to you. And then she's like, okay, thank you, and like. Puts it all together and pulls on him. Freeze! And he's like, oh, hands up kind of thing, and oh, very like dramatically he turns around and runs out of the goodbye horses. I forgot
you
we
can fuck
can't
me.
yeah, we can't talk about this movie without that scene,
Oh,
dude.
yeah.
Like that one's been parodied a lot. I just love it, dude. I got up and kind of danced around when it was happening. Oh, I'd fuck me.
Would you fuck me?
I'd fuck me hard. He's like filming himself on VHS tape,
I just remember
dancing in
the. I
the
think
little
it's in.
shawl.
I think it's in Clerks 2 where Jay does it.
Oh
That always
yeah,
made me laugh. Can't not think of Jay in the fucking parking lot
yeah.
talking.
Where he tucks, yeah. He's got the chapstick. Yeah, love that.
My God.
Yeah, so he's running and he goes downstairs and she goes downstairs, like dramatically kicks the door open and the door like bounces back and hits her. She's like, trying to aim down the steps. Yeah, she goes down there and we've established she has night vision goggles. I forget how we established she had those or what he was doing with them in the beginning. He was watching somebody or.
Yeah, I think it was it the senator's daughter? Because I guess we don't really see him stalk anybody else. It had to have been her, right?
Yeah.
I think.
And then yeah, he cuts power down there and has those on. And so we get that
Yeah, I
crazy.
love when she find before the power gets cut, she finds the senator's daughter and she's like,
Oh yeah.
"Hey, I'm here to help you," or whatever. And, she kind of like makes sure all the doors are all okay, and she looks down. She's like, "Hey, stay, or I'll be right back." She's like, "Don't leave me here, you fucking bitch!" I thought that was pretty funny. What the fuck? Yeah, so good.
Yeah, then he cuts the power and he's kind of stalking her through the halls, and that's a great piece of cinema. And she's
Oh, yeah.
just pointing in the dark, and you get the. And he's like going and almost touching her face and hair and stuff, and it's really weird. And then he gets his gun out and he's got it right to her head, and then he kind of backs up a little bit and he loads it. It pulls the hammer back, and she hears that and turns and like. Turns and unloads on him. I don't know how he didn't even get off a shot.
Yeah.
He's right there. And yeah, she turns and unloads and he falls and dies. But then the lights were on at that point,
I think
right?
he does get a couple. He just misses because he shoots the window behind her, and the light kind of
Oh
clears.
yeah,
Oh,
the light
he does.
pours
He
in.
does get a
Yep.
couple of rounds off. Yeah.
And yeah. Cops come, her handler guy gets her out of there, and the senator's daughter is saved, and I think we cut, you're the reason why we found this guy. No one's gonna forget that. I won't forget that. And then we cut to FBI graduation and she gets her badge. And then there's like a celebration party and he's there, comes up and talks to her. Says, I'm not good at these things. I'm gonna leave, but I just want to say congratulations that your dad would be very proud. And then, because earlier in the movie, Hannibal insinuates, well, maybe he has a sexual thing for you. Why would he help you so much?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you are quite a bit younger, but it's not too crazy. And then there's this tension right there when he says that, like, is he going to hug or is there something more? And then they just shake hands. And yeah, I think he just genuinely wanted to help her.
Yeah.
And yeah, he leaves. And then, but when he went to talk to her, somebody said there's a phone call for her. And so he's leaving. Don't forget your phone call. And she goes to the phone and we get that line. Did the lamb stop screaming, yeah. Clarice?
Clarice.
Dr. Lecter, don't bother. What'd he say?
I'm not tracing gonna be able the to call long enough for you to trace
she,
it.
She didn't. She wasn't gonna bother at all, anyways. Like she was totally cool with just having a conversation with you. She said, "How are you gonna trace this call?" I don't think that can work. It was a random call to a phone you didn't know was gonna happen. Mm. Pretty sure you gotta have that set up. You know what I mean? Especially back then. So he says, "Where are you, Dr. Lecter?" And he says, "Don't worry about me. I'm just meeting an old friend for dinner." And then what else? Does he say anything else before he goes?
I don't remember. He has to have. Yeah. I just don't remember what it was.
Yeah, he just gives her a little... Oh, yeah, he says, "Don't worry, Clarice. I'm not going to look for you. The world's more interesting with you in it. I hope you extend to me the same courtesy." She says, "You know I can't promise that, Doctor." Oh, darn it. "Tisk, tisk, Clarice. Then perhaps someday we will meet again." he leaves. And then we see that it's that conniving prison guy getting off a plane. And he follows him. And then we get the credits. Mm-hmm. And that's it. That's it. And then we go on to make 100 times the budget. Whatever it is. Fucking amazing. And then we didn't really talk, but fuck, Jodie Foster's accent she does in this is fucking killer.
So good.
Like, I love it, dude.
Oh, yeah.
You try to hide that accent with West Virginia. Yeah, love it. Just a fucking amazing film. No wonder it won the Big Five. It's crazy talk. Just the perfect storm of everything working together, and it's definitely a thriller. I don't think it's a horror movie, but it's a fucking amazing thriller that you want to find out everything you can. You want more Buffalo Bill. You want more Hannibal Lecter. You want more Clarice Starling. You want more of all of it, and they didn't give it to you, which I like. They kept it as a nice, tight package. There may have been sequel much further down the line and some prequels, but I don't think it affects the legacy of this movie at all. Like, you could forget all those exist. This is just its own thing, right? It's so good and so powerful. It really is like a fucking masterpiece. And while watching it again, I didn't realize it. I knew it was good. I've always liked it. I was like, this is really an amazing fucking movie. 9.1.
Yeah, 9.1 out of 10 for me. Yeah, I was coming in 9 out of 10. So we're, very close. So good. Very, very, very good. I mean, shit, what is there to say? It hasn't been said about this fucking movie. I mean, iconic performances from both Jodie Foster and Anthony Hopkins. Very thrilling. It's 2 hours, but it doesn't feel the length. It doesn't drag. Good pace to it. Oh, and Ted Levine. We can't leave out Ted Levine. He's very creepy. He's very good. Great dialogue. Great moments of tension. The first time that they meet is just every time they meet, you're just like, you're so in the movie. Their relationship together. It's this movie's awesome.
Yeah, awesome. 9.1 and a 9. Go check it out. I had to rent it. Did you find it anywhere? Or did you rent
it? No, I have
it,
the.
Oh, yeah, you the have criterion, the copy. Yeah. I remember now. Yep, so definitely available to purchase in physical media, being such a giant film. That's one route.
Well, maybe I can try and sell. Hold on.
There you go. So, what's the artwork? Brian is grabbing a copy of The Silence of the Lambs.
So yeah, this is the 4K Criterion. And what's cool about these, they're very expensive. So, you know, obviously don't go fucking spend your money if you don't want to spend $40 on a Blu-ray. But what's cool about these is they always come with like a cool, sometimes it's a poster, but this is like, I don't know, a 50-page kind of book. It's very hefty. It's very hefty Blu-ray. But yeah, highly recommend it. It comes with two discs.
So what do you get? You get the 4K, and then you do you get a normal Blu-ray? Do you get a digital? What do you got?
You get, unfortunately, these don't come with digital, so that's kind of a bummer, but you do get a Blu-ray and a 4K, and then you just get like a shit ton of special features on the second disc, mm-hmm. and then that book that comes with it.
That's not bad. I buy 4K Blu-rays, and they're usually about $29.99.
Yeah.
So, I mean, 4K Blu-rays are already pretty expensive, so 40, 10 extra bucks for all the bonus stuff. That's totally. Not too bad. But yeah, find a copy or go rent it somewhere and check it out if you haven't. I don't know. Would you have been living under a rock and you just hate great movies? I don't know. Yeah. Go watch it. Even if you've seen it before, watch it again and remember how good it is.
I was going to say, even if you know you've seen it before, it's worth having in your collection. It's. I think this is one of the movies, you know, it feels nice putting on the shelf. It's like, yeah, I get the silent. No matter what copy you have, it doesn't need to be the Criterion. I'm sure there's Blu-rays and DVDs of it. Go get the DVD, maybe even the VHS if you can find it.
Yeah, get the VHS, dude.
The VHS has the dope cover with the moth.
Oh yeah, the moth. Yeah,
so good, iconic. Awesome. Poster.
Yeah, go check it out, everybody. 9 and a 9.1. We appreciate you watching and coming and listening. Of course, as always, like and subscribe here on YouTube. Also available on Spotify and Apple Music. Couldn't do it without you. Really appreciate your patronage and hanging out with us. Until the next time we do that, until the next Vs, peace.
Peace.